How many times have you heard a preacher say, or at least imply, listen to me? There are, of course, is time when you should do that. But be careful. Listening to a preacher can be dangerous. It can even be deadly. When I say that, you're probably going to respond by saying, well, how can that be? Well, the answer is illustrated in 2 Chronicles chapter 8. If you will turn to that passage with me, I'll tell you a story that illustrates the point. I'm going to start with the first verse that says, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he aligned himself with Ahab. By marriage, Jehoshaphat aligned himself with Ahab, who was the king of the northern kingdom. Up until this point, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom had been hostile toward each other. But Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter, according to a passage later in the book, thus forming an alliance between the two kingdoms. This chapter is very similar to 1 Kings 22. Since Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, he didn't need to make an alliance with Ahaz by marriage. Verse 2 says, after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him, and the people were with him, and persuaded him to go with him to Ramoth-Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in war. After flattering Jehoshaphat with elaborate banquet, Ahab urged him to go to war, and Jehoshaphat agreed to the deal. Verse 4 says, also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Jehoshaphat agreed to go to war on the condition that the Lord give his approval. The writer of this book undoubtedly wanted to encourage his audience by showing them first how Jehoshaphat would sink and the consequences of his failure, as we will see later in the story. Verse 5 says, then king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. Interesting. Ahab gathered 400 prophets who gave their blessing to his plan. But, verse 6 says, Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that may inquire of him? Interesting again. Jehoshaphat asked for a prophet of the Lord as if to imply that the 400 who had already assembled were not in touch with the Lord. He knew the prophets were charlatans. And what he's doing is asking for a true prophet. I find this story most fascinating. It continues in verse 7. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there's one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, "Bring him in here." I'm paraphrasing, but that's the idea and the attitude. And so they found this prophet of the Lord. Verse 9 says, "And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each in his throne, and they sat at the threshing floor in the essence of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them." Now, Zedekiah had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these you shall gourd the Samaritans, the Syrians, until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up against Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." So, after the king of the northern kingdom and the king of the southern kingdom sat all in their royal robes on their throne, indicating this is a very formal occasion, these horns, one of those was used as an object lesson, and he said, "You're going to gourd this enemy of yours. You'll destroy them." Perhaps the two horns signified the two kings, one of the northern kingdom, one of the southern kingdom. At any rate, while they're waiting for the true prophet to come, these false prophets keep saying, "Go ahead." In the meantime, the true prophet arrives. Verse 12. Then the messengers who had gone to call Micah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen, the word of the prophet with one accord encouraged the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement." And Micah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever my God says, I will speak." Okay. He's saying, "I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you what the Lord says." Well, he continues in verse 14. "Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, 'Shall we go to war?' And he said, 'Go and prosper, and they shall be delivered in your hand.' And the king said, 'How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me but the truth in the name of the Lord?' And he said, 'I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let each return to his house in peace.' And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good according to me, but evil?'" In other words, at first he pretended to go along with them. But as soon as it was apparent that he was not serious, Rahab said, "I want you to swear to tell the truth." And when he told the truth, it was bad news. So then he said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? No one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner.' Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will persuade him.' The Lord said to him, 'In what way?' He said, 'I will go down and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets.' And the Lord said, 'You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you.'" Boy, is this an interesting passage or what? The vision of the true prophet suggests that God is the author of deceit. God put a lying spirit in the mouth of those false prophets? How do you explain that? Well, it's clear that this is just one of the many examples in the Old Testament of the sovereignty of God, that he does not initiate evil, but sometimes allows it to occur to fulfill his own purposes. So now Ahaz is the object of judgment. By the way, that had been prophesied by Elijah according to 1 Kings 21. So this is nothing new. Matthew Henry said, it's not without divine permission that the devil deceives people, and even thereby God serves his own purpose. So God allowed it. And by the way, if you want an illustration of that elsewhere in the scripture, how about Job? God allowed Satan to attack Job, and this is punishment for Ahab, who isn't going to listen to the Lord to begin with. And so he says, all right, this is his punishment. So Zedekiah went near and struck Micah on the cheek and said, which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micah said, indeed, you shall see the day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. Then the king of Israel said, take Micah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison. Feed him on the bread of affliction and the water of affliction until I return in peace. But Micah said, if you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. All right, hearing what the true prophet said, what did the king do? Threw him in prison and said, in essence, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and nothing's going to stop me. That's why the Lord sent him a deceiving spirit. He's not going to listen to the Lord in the first place. So he gets thrown in prison. Interesting stuff. So what happened? Verse 28. So the king of Israel, that's the northern kingdom, Ahaz, and Jehoshaphat, the king of the southern kingdom, went to Ramoth Gilead. In other words, they listened to the 400 instead of the one. They listened to the 400 false prophets instead of the one true prophet. And they waged war. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, get this, this is really cute. I will disguise myself and go into battle. But you put on your robes. So the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, Ahab, disguised himself and they went into battle. Now he understands that he's been prophesied he's going to get killed, so he thinks he's going to disguise himself and get out of this. The prophet's words must have had some kind of an impact on him because he tried to disguise himself and thus escape the prediction. He suggested that Jehoshaphat wear the kingly robes while he put on a soldier's uniform. The point for us is that flirtation with those in apostasy is flirtation with catastrophe, as we shall see. We're down to verse 30, which says, now the king of Syria had commanded the captain of the chariots who were with him, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. The only person I want is the king of Israel. So it was when the captain of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. So here the southern kingdom is dressed up in royal robes, so they mistook him for the king of Israel. Therefore, the text says, they surrounded him to attack. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. For so it was when the captain of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, that they turned back from pursuing him. What an interesting turn of events. In these verses, the author is explaining how the Lord delivered Jehoshaphat from death, following the order of the king of Syria. The captain of the chariots realized that the one that they had surrounded was not the king of the northern kingdom, and thus they ceased to pursue him. At the end of verse 31, it's got a unique little phrase in terms of the writer of this book, in pointing out that it was God who delivered Jehoshaphat in the heat of battle. But, as it goes on to say, Ahaz gets put to death. The writer of Kings records this incident to show that it's the fulfillment of Elijah's prophecy that Ahab would be put to death for his murder of Naboth. That's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 22. So the writer of Chronicles uses it to show God delivered Jehoshaphat because he followed the Lord and cried out to him for help when he was in trouble. That's the key. So, a certain man drew aboard a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of the chariot, "Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded." The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Syrians until evening, and about the time of sunset, he died. In other words, in the meantime, one of the soldiers of the Syrian army shot an arrow at random, and it struck the king of the northern kingdom between the joints of his armor. He instructed the chariot to keep on, but his wound proved fatal, and he died at sunset. Two observations. One is, this is what the true prophet said. The other is this. I think it's really interesting that this passage says, "Now a certain man drew a bow at random." And, the Bible teaches God is sovereign and God is in control. And then every once in a while it makes this kind of a statement. Now clearly, God at least permitted this, and the true prophet predicted it was going to happen. God said it was going to happen. But what did he use? Not some deliberate plan. The guy, he didn't even know he was the king. He just shot at random the soldier, and it just happened to land between the cracks in the armor. What I was fascinated by at random. There's a similar kind of comment in the book of Ruth, where she went to glean, and it says in Boaz's field, and it says she just happened to be in Boaz's field. All right, short little chapter. In a sense, the story moves right along quickly. What's the psalm? Well, it's very simple. Even though Ahab heard a prophet tell him the truth, he chose to listen to the prophets who were not telling him the truth, with a result that he ended up dead. Is there a spiritual lesson here? People with a problem often go from one counselor to another until they find the message that they like. I heard a fellow say once that some people with a problem that go to counselors are like the bee that flies from one plant to another looking for food or honey. I've had people do that. I've had people come to me for counsel, a married couple, and I said to them, "How many people have you talked to so far?" I could tell by the nature of the problem what was going on. And I forgot the exact number, but I think they said to me something like 3 preachers and 2 counselors. Now, what's going on? They're looking for somebody to give them the message they want to hear. And they find a counselor or a preacher that gives it to them. Is there a New Testament parallel to that? And a warning to us? Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers who will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. That's the lesson of 2 Chronicles 18. The New Testament echoes that truth in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul tells Timothy to preach the word because there's coming a time when people will have itching ears and they'll turn to people who will scratch those ears. In the meantime, he says, be watchful in all things. Be sure that you listen to the word of the true prophet who is expounding the word of the Lord and not the false prophet. Father, thank you for this illustration and for your clear explanation in 2 Timothy. Give us the discernment to listen to the true preacher of the word and not those who scratch itching ears. In Jesus' name, amen.